Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovec on Bloomberg Radio.
We talked earlier about Lockheed Martin out with earnings. They talked about their outlook. But we also talked about late yesterday, Matt, that Lockheed is really grappling with delays in deliveries for its F-35. It's working on problems with software upgrades that are supposed to boost processing power and memory for the advanced fighter jet. Pentagon's been out and saying they're going to withhold about 10% of the jet's price until the contractor demonstrates that the new software actually works properly. So we're talking about maybe delaying about $400 million in payments through December. This was according to our own reporting. The F-35, massive fighter jet, big program, but there's been some issues.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're going to delay $400 million, mm-hmm. and that's just 10% of what Lockheed Martin gets from this. So the price tag is absolutely gigantic. The project is massive. I mean, imagine how hard it is to work with, you know, people from print and TV, you know, and Business Week.
Right.
It's difficult enough inside the company, but this is a project that was done by 8 different countries.
Right, exactly. So massive, massive. So let's get to it because it's all laid out in a new book and the authors are with us. The book is entitled F-35, The Inside Story of the Lightning II. The authors, Tom Burbidge and Betsy Clark. Tom, a former general manager at Lockheed Martin, executive VP and general manager of the F-35 program. And he is with us on the phone from Georgia. Tom, let's start with you. Talk to us about the F-35. First of all, what was it like for Lockheed Martin actually getting, it was a big win, right?
It absolutely was, and it was one that reshaped the aerospace industry. If you recall back about 20 years ago, there was a number of major prime contractors, and they were all teamed and competing for the project. And the winners would clearly realign the industry going forward, and that's exactly what happened.
So how difficult is this, was this, to work with so many different countries, so many different, you know, cooks in the kitchen? Was that something that caused major delays and, you know, made the project more expensive?
No, actually, the concept was quite simple. You know, in the past, we've had single service initiatives to develop airplanes that were unique to the single service missions, but the reality was we don't fight wars that way, and the joint command structure was set up, and we basically fight as a three-service entity. Unfortunately, none of the three services operated interoperably or with the same type of aircraft. And then we went to the 911 activity where we formed the Coalition of the Willing, and we were fighting with our allies. So we had the U.S., all three services, and allies all combined as a group, but a wide variety of aircraft and capabilities that were difficult to operate as a unit. So the concept sort of emerged out of that. It was that could we, in fact, develop a platform where the service requirements for operational capability were independent of the capabilities of the platform, and the allies could join with us, those that fly and fight with our aircraft in the past. So that was the concept behind the F-35, and that's a huge leveraging opportunity if you think about it, because it doesn't matter where you come from, whether it's one of the allied countries or a long runway or a ship at sea. Once you get together, you're all in the same airplane. So that was the fundamental concept, and that didn't, that basically was the basis of the program, but it didn't affect the process. One of the most misunderstood concepts is the concept of cost on the program, because it's an absolutely unique program, goes for many, many years, many more airplanes than have ever been done in the past.
So how much did it cost ultimately? And, you know, what's the price tag of an F-35?
Well, the F-35, a little known fact is it's been competitively bid in all the allied countries that have joined the program since the program started, and it's never lost on cost. So it's equivalent to the top fourth generation aircraft, but with much more capability.
Fourth generation aircraft?
Fourth generation aircraft are the F-16, F-18, Eurofighter, that class of airplanes.
Well, you also worked on the F-22 Raptor program. And so tell us what the F-35, I have a cousin who flew in the first Gulf War. Tell us about this vehicle, though, this fighter jet, what it's like. I mean, there's a lot of technology. There's a lot of mechanics. It's like pretty incredible. Talk to us about it. You're a pilot as well.
Well, the F-22 Raptor was designed basically 10 years. The design freeze was 10 years prior to the F-35. And in that 10-year evolution, a lot of technologies were developed. A lot of computer processing capability was advanced. And we were able to put a whole different set of requirements into the F-35. The government establishes the requirements by looking at what they think the future is going to need. And basically, if you were in an F-35 and you were looking at the screen in front of you, you would be looking at a movie of what's going on around you. You wouldn't be looking at a bunch of individual dials and trying to integrate them in your head. So one of the great advantages from a software standpoint was the ability to fuse all the various sensors in the F-35 and present one coherent picture to the pilot. And the information that comes from that can be shared across multiple domains, not just aircraft, but others. And so not only was it moving into the stealth regime, it was also moving into the highly integrated sensors and the information. It's the information age in the battle space, so to speak.
Let's go to Betsy Clark and ask her for her take. Betsy,
And we should just point out, she's director at the Independent Project Review Institute. They participated in a U.S. Department of Defense review of the F-35 program.
And as I understand it, Betsy, what you came up with the idea, because this project was highly criticized, to document the whole process. And initially, didn't you want to just, put out a paper that turned into a book?
Yes, that's right. So actually, my first review of the F-35 program was for the U.S. Department of Defense. I did several of those, and then I've done a number of reviews for Australia. And what I noticed over time, if you read the headlines on the program, it sounded like a disaster. All you would hear about is cost overruns, trouble-plagued programs. And yet I did 8 different reviews over time, and I could see what was happening on the program in Fort Worth. And I just felt that there is not, first of all, an understanding of the extreme complexity of this program in terms of the technology, in terms of the stakeholder management. There were 9 partner countries. And so I just felt there needed to be a book that really went into how complex this program is and the amazing accomplishments that were being done. Was it done perfectly? No. There were missteps. There was, whenever you have a lot of new technologies, et cetera, they're going to be. But it just seemed like a basic unfairness to me. And so that is how the book started.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
We are talking about a new book, F-35, The Inside Story of the Lightning II, made by Lockheed Martin. The authors, Tom Burbidge and Betsy Clark. Tom, as we said, former general manager at Lockheed, on the phone from Georgia. And Betsy is director at the Independent Project Review Institute and who participated in several reviews, U.S. Department Defense review of the F-35 program. She's on Zoom in Australia. Matt, you actually want to ask something.
Well, I just, it's to people who don't work with these aircraft every day or and who aren't in the military, it's a little bit confusing because I know that there are different variants for the different services. There's an F-35A, B, mm-hmm, and C, mm-hmm, and it's called the Lightning II, which right, already begs the question, where's the Lightning I? But I thought this was a fifth generation fighter. I thought it was the most advanced plane in the world, Tom. I don't know if you misspoke or if I misunderstood, but you said it's a fourth generation fighter, like the Eurofighter Typhoon. Isn't this, you know, decades ahead of that, and even like the Sukhoi 57?
Well, no, you misunderstood what I said, and I apologize for that. Those are what we call fourth generation aircraft. Fifth generation aircraft take everything to another level, both in the introduction of stealth and in the introduction of integrated avionics and information capability. So it's a whole different class of airplanes than the Gen 4 airplanes, the F-16, F-15 Eurofighter. So there was a confusion in that factor.
Okay, I don't know, I mean, anything about this other than what I've read in, you know, your book and on the internet and what I've seen in Top Gun. And they were talking about the fifth gen fighters when I saw the new Top Gun. That's when I decided to go into the internet, you know, fighter jet rabbit hole and try and figure out what it was.
We were indeed. So Betsy, get into some of the struggles, the cyber attack. I mean, I can only imagine the cyber attacks on a program like this.
Yeah, certainly. You would have the Russians. You would have the Chinese. I think the North Koreans. They've all worked on trying to hack into the program. So that was certainly, it's very classified, secure. So that was all going on because they all really want to know more about it. Right. So yeah, that was certainly.
How do you keep them from doing that? I mean, when you've got nine partner countries. Surely somebody has a weak attaché.
Tom, what was that like? Tom, what was that like, you guys working on this project? I can only imagine the clearance.
Well, there are classified areas on the project, and some very classified and some unclassified. So there's quite a spectrum. And the international partners are all closest allies, at least the first batch were. And then the second batch are now occurring through the foreign military sales process, but the fundamental eight initial partners all fly and fight with the United States as a joint coalition force. They've operated our airplanes and the best of our airplanes for a long time. So joining the project was part of their national objective. They all participated in funding the development of the program. So in return for that, they were allowed to participate industrially where they could compete on the best value basis. You know, it's all taken place with very several different layers of security. The very classified areas are, of course, closed to U.S. only and are very compartmented and protected from any kind of cyber activity. And then it goes down to building metal parts for the airplane, which all the different countries can certainly participate in.
Betsy, who gets these? And have we lost any of them yet? Betsy's
the industrial participation. I'm not sure what the question is.
No, I'm just wondering who gets to use these. Which countries is do all members of NATO get some? Who put in orders? And have we lost any of them yet?
Yeah. No. So the way this is, Turkey's the only one that was basically outed of the program, because when they bought the Russian, I think it was the S-400 air defense system, that became a whole State Department thing. But the others have stayed in. And so right from the beginning, this plane was set up for Allied joint warfare. So it was to fight with our partners. So a big part of it is sharing information across our allied partners, and then also across our services. So the U.S. Air Force, the Marines, and the Navy, and I'm sure Tom probably talked about the different variants that can do that. And that's really the power of it, because we have not fought any combat alone since, I believe, World War One. You know, it's the way that we do combat now, and to share information and everything. And this aircraft was designed right from the beginning to be able to do that. And that is so powerful. And so we have not, I believe right now there's 19 different countries that have signed up to get the F-35.
Right.
So it is the NATO countries, it is the Asia Pacific countries, very strong coalitions. It is really changing the way we do combat now.
Tom, this is how we do it going forward. We have to, because of the cost of these devices and just how geopolitics goes.
Well, the political situation in the world is also, and as well as the climate impacts, are shifting the way alliances need to be formed going forward. So the two emerging hotspots, obviously, in the world are the Arctic, with the melting of the ice cap. And every country that surrounds the Arctic is now an F-35 operator or potential operator, a lot of that driven by the invasion of Ukraine. So a lot of those countries have jumped in recently. And then if you go to the Pacific, where the expeditionary focus of the Chinese is occurring, we have Japan and South Korea and Singapore and Australia all forming now a secondary natural alliance through the operation of the F-35. When you couple that with deployed aircraft carriers from the U.S. Navy, that's a substantial force in the Pacific region. So it's interesting to watch the emergence of new alliances from the post-World War II NATO and even CETO to what's driving the changes in the world, and the F-35 happens to be in the position of being an influencing factor on that.
All right, we're going to leave it on that note. Really fascinating and certainly timely with some of the news flow on Lockheed Martin in the last day or so. Tom Burbidge and Betsy Clark, thank you so much. The new book is called F-35, The Inside Story of the Lightning II. Tom, as we said, former GM at Lockheed, and Betsy, director of the Independent Project Review Institute, which did a review of the F-35. Fascinating, right?
It's a single-seater, so.
Oops. This is Bloomberg.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher level analysis and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.